Views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
Peace World Radio. Vibrant conversations to change the world with Christina Jans is an energetic, vibrant, and engaging show that's getting people talking. Christina brings you extraordinary and courageous people, bold in thought and action, who are using their lives to raise the frequency of our world. Here you will meet authors, actors, scientists, activists, and so many more who dare to dream that things can be different, who think beyond what they were taught and have the courage to not settle. If you too believe that a world of peace is possible and have been looking for inspiration to become part of this extraordinary step in the evolution of humanity, then you're in the right place, because that's what Peace World Radio is all about. Peace World Radio. Join the talk the world is having. Now here is your host, Christina Jans.
Hello and welcome to Peace World Radio on this beautiful Monday. I'm so glad you're able to spend some time with me today. You know, the heart and soul of this show is all about peace and exploring the many different ways that we can create peace, a world of peace, and by making simple changes within ourselves, our attitudes, our behaviors, and generally how we go about living life on a day-to-day basis. And so with that in mind, the way I think of it is that if we are indeed intent on creating a world of peace, then at some point we have to include looking at our relationship with nature. Mahatma Gandhi said that the greatness of a nation and its moral progress can be judged by the way its animals are treated. And I would add to this that the greatness of a nation and its moral progress will also be seen in how it treats the earth, the water systems, the air, the natural resources, all of nature. I truly believe that if we are going to create a world of peace, it must be a world in which all living beings are treated with dignity and respect, and that includes nature itself. My guest today is one of those tremendous people who is using her life to remind us and re-educate us about our relationship with nature and the changes we need to make to restore this relationship to one of respect and peaceful coexistence. Her name is Catriona McGregor, and she is the author of Partnering with Nature. Welcome to Peace World Radio, Catriona. It is such a pleasure to have you here today.
Well, it's a delight to be here. Thank you.
Great. Now, your book, Partnering with Nature, I've got to tell our listeners, was the winner of a gold medal from the Nautilus Book Award, which recognizes world-changing books. And this is no small feat when you consider that the previous winners have included the Dalai Lama, Deepak Chopra, Thich Nhat Hanh, Carolyn Miss, and so on and so on. So congratulations for that.
Well, thank you. It was an honor to get that.
Sure. Now, how did you come about to write this amazing book?
Well, you know, I start the book off also with the story of an experience that I had with a tree, and of course my adventure or experience with nature started at a very young age, and in fact my first memory was walking and being in nature, but I had an amazing experience with a tree which really called upon me as a witness to write this book, to bring to the world the sacred dimension of nature all around us, of the earth and the trees and the animals. And there's so much that we can learn from them and gain from them, you know, including peace and love and compassion and wisdom and all those great things. And I believe that we need to partner with nature more than ever before now that, you know, we're facing global issues today. And I think that the trees and the animals and the plants can help us to a large extent.
Absolutely. Now, you mentioned that experience you had with the tree, and I have to tell you that when I read that story about what happened with you, it touched my heart so deeply. And so I wonder if you can share that experience with our listeners.
I will. So I was really, you know, born a little nature girl. I just adored nature. And, but, you know, over the years, I got drawn into a professional life, which really didn't give me much time to be out in nature like many, many people. I was working
sure.
many hours. And what happened is one night I came home from work very late, and I was really exhausted. I had a bag of groceries in my arm and my briefcase, and there was a little empty lot next to our home at that time where we used to live. And I came around the corner. Normally that lot was, you know, pitch black, and I would have to kind of, you know, very slowly find my way around. But this time I came home, and I came around to the lot and started to walk through towards our house, and I noticed that the lot was brightly lit up. And I looked all over for the light, and I couldn't see a light. And I was, you know, just initially glad that I could see where to put my feet, and I had no, you know, trouble walking. And then I noticed that the tree, there was this magnificent, beautiful tree in the center of the lot, was lit up. And exuding this beautiful light. And, you know, I had this, my initial reaction was fear and, oh, my God, you know, and kind of shock and am I losing my mind? I'm hallucinating. And I ran, you know, I quickly walked into the house and put the groceries down and kind of caught my breath. And then I peeked outside again, and sure enough, it was the tree. And the tree just was glowing as, you know, bright as if the moon was sitting upon the grass. And I went out and I just communed with the tree, and I really felt that I communed with the soul of the tree and connected with this amazing, you know, divinity, the sacredness that exists in all things. And then, like many of the mystical experiences that I've had in life, and I believe many people have, you know, we tend to put those aside and forget about them when we, you know, the next day I went to work and had completely forgotten about it and, you know, came back the following evening, a little bit earlier, but what happened is the tree was no longer there. It had been cut down, and there were shards and pieces of this tree.
Oh.
And this, it was almost like two universes colliding within myself, that the mystical side and the, you know, quote, unquote, real side that we think is reality collided. And I felt that, you know, this was a sign to me to bring these experiences, this knowledge, this knowing that these beings have a sacred dimension to the world.
What an experience. What an experience. And I have to say that as I read that, it sort of reaffirmed in my mind, and maybe in many ways validated, the experiences in terms of the energy that I have picked up from plants and from animals, where I would imagine, like you, Catriona, I just could not deny what I was picking up. My logical mind wanted to jump in and say, no, this can't be, but I couldn't deny it. Was that the same for you?
Yes, it's very much the same, I think, for all people. You know, I do believe that all people have the capacity to connect with nature at a very deep level. And I can see this happening when I run these seminars and workshops. I help people connect with the trees and the earth. And, you know, I've never encountered anyone who has not been able to, for example, experience the energy system of a tree when they've, you know, gotten quiet and peaceful inside. So it's really a universal experience that we can each, you know, have.
Why do you think we shut off from that?
Well, I talk about that a little bit in the book, and I think there's a multiplicity of reasons. One of the ones that I discuss in the book is the alienation that was purposefully caused to stop people from understanding and knowing and experience that they have a direct connection to the divine, that the earth is a sacred place, that the trees and the animals and the plants. And this was a knowing that peoples all around the world shared, whether you were, you know, Celtic, like my ancient ancestors, the Druids, who, you know, would practice under the oak trees, or, you know, an Aborigine in Australia on the walkabout and understanding the intense connection with the land, or a Native American. Uh-huh. All these people shared this understanding, this knowing, and they were raised in a culture which helped to support that innate connection. I believe that when we're very young, we all have those experiences and we don't even question it. But as we grow in our culture and are turned away from that, we kind of shut down those systems in a way, but we can reawaken them. And I believe that through political power plays and whatnot, that people wanted to take away the knowing and knowledge that people can have a direct experience, because perhaps those groups or individuals wanted people to say, no, I have to follow you, or no, I have to give you the money, or no, I have to come to your church or whatever. Uh-huh. And, you know, we can see signs of people cutting off this connection in so many ways. A simple thing is, you know, the Druids, for example, the Celtic people, one of the first things the Romans would do is they would come in and cut down the sacred oak grove.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah. That was one of the first things, yeah. So,
isn't that interesting? So going directly to the place that held a symbolic sort of power, or maybe not symbolic, a true power for the people, was to destroy it.
That's right.
Now you have to turn your eyes to us in order for you to survive and have purpose and meaning and structure.
That's right.
How interesting. Oh, my goodness. I have so much more I'm going to be asking you about this when we come back. I think we're going to stop for a short break now. And when we come back, I want to be asking you more about how you rate our relationship with nature today. How would you rate it in terms of where we are with all our electronics and, you know, our for a lot of people, their world is sort of a 3-inch by 3-inch, you know, electronic box. And I want to ask you what the implications of that are. So,
wonderful. I look forward to that.
Great. We're going to pause for a quick break. We'll be right back.
Laura Longley is on a mission to remove stuckness from your life for good and replace it with happiness. Tune in Mondays at 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern, and Tuesdays at 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com for The Laura Longley Show, where authentic change takes flight. Say yes to that inspired you and goodbye to your stuckness as Laura and her guests deliver powerful ways to work through common problems in this fun and unique hit show.
Are you interested in learning about how to add more eco-conscious living into your life? Amy Tuwillis, broker and owner of Rhino Roz Realty, is dedicated to helping people buy and sell healthy homes. She strives to educate people on incorporating more green features into your environment. Rhino Roz Realty wants to be a resource before, during, and after a transaction. Whether someone is buying or selling a single-family home, multifamily, condo, or investment property, Rhino Roz can provide the service and knowledge that is needed to make informed decisions. For a free market analysis or more information about greening your home, contact Amy at rhinoroz.com, R-H-I-N-O-R-O-Z.com, or call 206-508-1250. Rhino Roz Realty, charging on your behalf in the Northwest.
How would you like increased health and vitality? How would you like to avoid the onset of disease as well as slow the aging process? This is all possible through a simple, safe, and natural process. Every day we are either moving toward wellness or away from wellness.
Hi, I'm Mary Jane Mack. I'd like to be your partner in achieving optimal health. Contact me now at MaryJaneMack.com or call 425-392-0659. Visit MaryJaneMack.com.
Are you a health-conscious, spiritual woman who is just tired of struggling with food obsession, emotional eating, and constantly having to struggle with weight and food? You aren't alone. The secret is within us, often in releasing internal resistance and blocks to our own success. To learn how to end the war with food and your body now and find peace, go to eatlikeagoddess.com for your free audio. Break free from food obsession and lose weight without trying. That is eatlikeagoddess.com.
Tune in to The Truth Is Funny with Colette Stephan each Wednesday at 8 a.m. Pacific, 11 a.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. This hit show will have you thinking outside the box and riding the wave of infinite potential. Join Colette on the Higher Self Network, inspiring listeners to shine their brilliance and ensure success while roaring with laughter as they recognize the humor of the giant cosmic joke. Visit thetruthisfunny.com.
Welcome back. You're listening to Peace World Radio, and my very special guest today is Catriona McGregor. Before we continue, Catriona, I want to make sure that people know where to find you online to find out about all the great trips and vision quests you offer. Do you have a website address you could give out?
Yes, I do. It's naturalpathfinder.com, naturalpathfinder.com, and then people can, of course, learn more about my philosophy and work, and as well as some of the science and spirituality underpinning our connection with nature through reading, partnering with nature.
Wonderful. Okay, so there you go. So before the break, I said that I was going to ask you this question, so here we go. In this world of electronics that we're now just surrounded by that frequency of electronics everywhere we go, how do you rate our relationship with nature today?
Well, I have an answer that kind of comes at both ends. I believe that there's more people today that are being called by the trees and the earth and the animals and are wanting to deepen their connection and are having experiences that are drawing them out, very much like my experience in whatever way that may be. And we also have people that are doing some incredible things, biomimicry and learning, solar power, for example. We got that from observing plants and saying, look, they get, all the life energy they need from the sun. How can we do this? And so people are coming up with some really amazing ways to partner with nature through work, to understand there is this divine wisdom within nature. On the other hand, and this often happens when these big transitions in culture and society happen, is that the status quo and what I call the old dinosaur technologies and the old, stuck ways of doing things sometimes grasp more violently than ever before. So I'm also seeing an alarming number of things happening with huge pipelines being, started. I know they're in Canada and here in the U.S. and, countries wanting to put these disgusting things across the entire land and spraying in the air to try and stop global warming. And so there's some really absolutely hideous things happening, which, I think are even worse than even our parents could have imagined at the same time. So I think it is important to stay positive. It's important to be informed to wherever anyone can be politically involved, not to allow politicians in who are, destroying the earth or, have special interest groups. But at the same time, to stay positive and keep a positive vision of how things can be and to know that we're not alone. We don't have to solve these global challenges on our own. The trees can help us, and the trees have helped enormously in the past, and I can speak more to that, but I know that now I would be getting off your question a little bit.
Well, that's okay. Let's go with that, because I was actually going to be asking you about something that you said in your book, where you said that plants, you speak of plants as evolutionary masters and trees as master alchemists. So tell us about that.
Well, when we think about, plants versus humankind or plants versus mammals, if we do kind of a comparison, of course, the atmosphere on the earth before the ancestors of plants who created photosynthesis is a synthesis of light, which which means those little beings figured out, you know, how to get the life energy they need through, you know, chemical combinations to create, you know, life energy.
Uh-huh.
And then, you know, the plants occurred and the trees occurred. But before these beings came into being, our Earth, most of the oxygen was locked up into the soil and the rocks. There was very little, if almost no oxygen in our atmosphere, which meant the Earth at that time was largely inhabited by single-cell organisms, which were anaerobic, which means don't exist in oxygen.
Uh-huh.
And at that time, an anaerobic environment cannot really support complex life beings like mammals and human beings. So
right.
The Celtic people referred to trees as the ancestors of humankind, and there's actually scientific validity to that, because without the plants and the trees, they're the ones who created this highly oxygenated atmosphere. Once they did that, then the evolution of reptiles and mammals and humans just take off like crazy, because we had this oxygen, you know, to support these tremendous evolutionary breakthroughs. So not only have they been there so much longer, you know, than we have upon the Earth, living upon the Earth through many, many, many different changes,
yes.
But they made it possible for us to be here. And so trees do have the capacity to alter our atmosphere, and we really need to call and work with them now to help remedy the global warming and the harm that we've caused. We need to start, you know, partnering with them, learning from them, protecting them, planting them, you know, appropriately, you know, native plants in native areas, and doing everything that we can to work with them.
I'm glad you mentioned that, because I was going to ask you, how do we do it? How do we call upon them, on the trees, to work with us to help us through this time? So that's wonderful.
We need everyone. We need scientists. You know, I mentioned solar before. We're having amazing breakthroughs in science. So one of the problems with solar is that they did, you know, understand that, oh, we can get energy from the sun. But what they didn't understand is they didn't know how to preserve that energy. They didn't know how to kind of, you know, have that energy just kept over, even in cloudy weather and so on. And that's something that the trees know how to do. They know how to store energy. So just 3 years ago, a scientist at Stanford had an aha moment and figured out, oh, now I know how to get solar to properly store energy from, again, looking at trees. So we need scientific people out there saying we need to live more sustainably by seeing how these beings that are critical to the health of our climate, to what they do. We need to mimic what they do through our processes. And we also need people like you and myself and others that, you know, have this sensitivity, have this desire to get close to the trees, to actually listen to what the trees are saying. Now, you know, some people actually hear them. Some people get visions. Some people just kind of download information from them. And to have these, you know, kinds of experiences, you know, there is a heightening of spiritual enlightenment. If we look at Buddha under the Bodhi tree, for example, he recognized the incredible alchemy, the ability of a being that's beneath the earth, upon the earth, and within the sky to move energy among these three realms, and how that can help one in spiritual enlightenment and the increasing of knowledge and wisdom. So we need everyone, and we need teachers out there, you know, teaching our young people, getting them outside, teaching them about the importance of trees. It's not just board feet for a house,
yes.
But these are beings. These are living, wise beings that we can learn from.
I'm so glad you mentioned that, because I know some of our listeners are going to be wondering about this. Plants and trees, are they conscious?
You know, there was this amazing report that just came out, and I believe it was called the Cambridge Consciousness Study or something. A group of neuroscientists, including Paul Hawking, got together.
Stephen Hawking. Oh,
Stephen
yeah.
Hawking. And they got together and they came out with a, the conclusion that animals are conscious. Now, you know, of course, many people will say, well, of course animals are conscious. You know, we think that's not a big deal. But to actually have scientists sign a document saying we uphold that animals are conscious is a real breakthrough because, of course, there's, you know, animal testing and,
yes.
you know, you can't do that if something's conscious, right? You just say, oh, they don't know what's going on. That's why
right.
we can torture them and abuse them. But if you have scientists coming through and saying, wait a minute. Now, one of the interesting things in that, and I'm trying to find it as we're speaking, if I can find the, here it is. It's the the Cambridge Declaration on Consciousness in Non-Human Animals. Cambridge, UK, on July 7, 2012. So, my goodness, it's almost exactly a year ago.
Yes.
And people can go and have a look at that. It's all written in kind of scientific speaking, and not the most gracefully written document, but it is signed and upheld by these, you know, leading global scientists. So, but to get to the point, one of the key things that they say is that they recognize that you don't have to have the exact same kind of physical things within your body, like the way a human brain is comprised, to be conscious, because some of the animals that they're claiming have consciousness don't have the same, you know, physical attributes of our brain, right?
Uh-huh.
So that's a huge step in the direction of saying, okay, well, if you don't need a brain the way we are, if the physical aspect doesn't prove consciousness, what does? And so, yes, trees are conscious. They're not conscious in the same way as the human being, but they do have a consciousness.
I totally agree with that. And on that note, we are going to pause for a short break. And when we return, we will get to hear more of this extraordinary wisdom, all these insights from Catriona McGregor. Stay tuned. We will be right back.
Are you a health-conscious, spiritual woman who is just tired of struggling with food obsession, emotional eating, and constantly having to struggle with weight and food? You aren't alone. The secret is within us, often in releasing internal resistance and blocks to our own success. To learn how to end the war with food and your body now and find peace, go to eatlikeagoddess.com for your free audio. Break free from food obsession and lose weight without trying. That is eatlikeagoddess.com.
Tune in to Peace World Radio, vibrant conversations to change the world with Christina Jantz, each second Monday at 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern Time on TransformationTalkRadio.com and KKNW. This hit show is energetic, vibrant, and an engaging forum that's getting people talking. Christina brings you extraordinary and courageous people, bold in thought and action, who dare to dream that things can be different. Peace World Radio. Join the talk. The world is happy.
Are you looking for positive answers to tough questions in your personal and professional life? On Purpose Radio with Karen Florence is a riveting show that will help you reveal your own truth and begin to live the life you've always wanted. Karen's dynamic approach to coaching people in all areas of their lives has made her one of the most sought-after coaches today. Tune in each Thursday at 7 a.m. Pacific and 10 a.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com and visit OnPurposeRadio.com.
Are you ready to have all your relationships work for you? Those with your family, friends, and coworkers? Perhaps with a lover? How about with your body and your money? Ask Susan, relationship counselor, life coach, and access consciousness facilitator. Susan Lazar Hart has assisted thousands in creating relationships that truly work for them. Ask Susan, a monthly telecall where you can be heard and receive simple tools to apply to all your relationships. AskSusan.net. That's ask-susan.net.
Chris Stainis is a spiritual leader and healer and teaches a course on how you can transform your life through a meditation and healing system that will manifest your spirit's dreams. She manifested the Women of Wisdom Conference, the Women of Wisdom book, and this radio show. And she can show you how to change your life too. Are you ready? Visit the website and contact her at voicesofwomentoday.com. That's voicesofwomentoday.com.
you're just joining us on Peace World Radio, my very special guest today is Catriona McGregor, and we have just been speaking before the break about consciousness in animals and in plants. And now, Catriona, I want to ask you specifically about animals and the power that animals have in our life. What are spirit animals?
So spirit animals are, I'm trying to just think, a spirit animal is an animal who is closely aligned with the frequency of an individual to such an extent that there's a resonance between the spirit of the animal and the person, and there's much that a person can gain from understanding and connecting to the spirit of an animal that they are, you know, similar to. And, you know, some people have called them power animals and totems and so on and so forth. I like to refer to them as spirit animals. And when you're connecting with the spirit of an animal, you're not necessarily connecting with an individual animal, although your life experiences with individual animals can sometimes point to a spiritual connection, if that makes sense. But that when you engage the spiritual dimensions of an animal, you're actually working with what I call almost the oversoul of that species. I believe it was Jung who talked about an oversoul and how humankind has this oversoul, and, you know, that explains why, you know, when, who was it, Stricton, Frumpkin, whoever invented the DNA or discovered the DNA structure, I think it was Frumpkin, and at the same time, across on the other side of the world, somebody was inventing, creating, and understanding the structure of the DNA at the same time, at the same moment. And so, you know, Jung believed that this kind of oversoul, or this is this realm where we can connect with each other, our species, you know. And the oversoul, you know, for lack of a better word, of a spirit animal, it helps to protect the species. Provides communication at a spiritual level. It provides guidance in the development of that species. Just the way, you know, when a tree is born, you know, it's a tiny seed, and there's an oversoul, for example, for an oak, you know, particular kind of oak, and for how that seed will grow. And part of that information is within the seed itself, but I believe that the part of that information, or that protective coating or layer or whatever, is within this oversoul of the species. So, and the value of connecting with the spirit animal can really be tremendous. And, you know, I know that there's a lot of spirit animal cards and books and things out. I applaud that people are learning more about it. I do believe, though, that to really connect with your life totem, it's a deeper process than just, you know, pulling a card. I think pulling a card is similar to kind of an I Ching experience, if your audience is familiar with that, where you can get information about what's happening in the moment. But if you really want to connect with your spirit animal, the way that I help people do that is we not only look at life experiences, but we go on a mystical journey, or some people like to call it shamanic journey, to deeper levels within the person to ask the animal to come forward. And that is how the connection can happen. And I almost see it as a marriage in a way, because when people first connect in that deep way to their spirit animal, there's great joy and a deepening of understanding about themselves and what they're capable of. And then the benefits of being connected to a spirit animal are to ask the animal in your life, and it can help in a variety of ways depending upon your relationship and depending upon the gifts of that animal.
Now you were just speaking a moment ago about connecting at a deeper level, like a marriage, you know, with the spirit of the animal. Within the context of that, what is shape-shifting?
Well, shape-shifting is a art from shamanic mystical practices, and now that we have the new physics and understand that we are not really physical, you know, hard bodies, but we're, you know, we have biophotons, we're frequency, we're light, we have a better understanding that because our form is actually malleable, some of the great shamans of old, and I do believe there's probably a few people on the earth that are still capable of truly, what I call true shape-shifting, which is actually taking on the form, the physical form of an animal or a being and actually appearing that way to others. This is something that was done quite frequently in the olden days. And we have stories of that. You know, we've heard of Merlin, of course, who is it? I think Merlin turned into, what was it, an owl, I believe. And then the most recent stories of shape-shifting are the Selkie, you know, the seal people. There have been quite a few stories about that. And, of course, the Native Americans have stories of the shape-shifting. However, we can undertake shape-shifting ourselves to resonate as closely as possible with our spirit animal or animals that are beneficial to us. We, of course, would never want to shape-shift into an animal that was not, you know, suitable to us. And we can do that at an energetic level, if not at a physical level.
Mm-hmm. And I would think that there are many different ways that shape-shifting, in a sense, happens. You know, just in the counseling work that I do, starting to release oneself from a paradigm of old non-productive beliefs and how you saw yourself, and then to almost fill the form of the new paradigm with which you believe you deserve and that, you know, is the expression of your higher self, is also a form of shape-shifting, isn't it?
It is. It's very much true. And, you know, the way that people like to work maybe with mandalas or geometric symbols and so on and so forth, all these things can, you know, whether it's an animal or a mandala or it's an image, these things can all influence us and provide transformative shifts.
Uh-huh.
And Dora Van Gelder Kunz, have you heard of her?
Yes, I have, actually.
Oh, good. Well, she, and of course she died years and years ago, but she was truly the most gifted person. She helped to create hands-on healing with a nurse. This is, I think she did this back in the 40s or something, 40s or 50s. And then from there, really, that was the beginning of, you know, kind of the massage and, you know, a lot of the Reiki and
yes,
other things that took off in on the planet. But Dora had this awesome ability to see people's auras like no other human being I've heard about. And she, luckily I have one of her books where there's some paintings of what she saw. And believe it or not, there's actually people's faces sometimes in people's auras, especially if someone's very close to you, especially if it's a baby or an infant, you might have the face within your aura. Sometimes people actually have little images of animals in their aura. There might be geometric patterns, you know, if they're an artist, there might be certain patterns and so on and so forth. So, you know, these, so shape shifting can be done while we may not see with our physical eyes any change happening. There may be a change at that energetic level. And
yes,
this can bring great, great benefits. You know, when you're working with, you know, progressively with someone like you are, or, you know, working in a beneficial way with a spirit animal. And of course, what I love about the spirit animals is, unlike human beings, they do not judge. And
yes,
they can also bring a knowing that you can never get from another human being.
Isn't that true? You know, we've also been talking a little bit about physics in there. You mentioned some a bit of physics a moment ago, and I wanted to ask you that something you mentioned in your book called Indra's Net. What is Indra's Net, and how does this change the version of reality that we have most commonly been taught?
Well, Indra's Net, and, you know, Indra's Net has proven to be true through physics, and the belief that the Hindus had around this existence of Indra's Net, and it's a metaphor really to describe the universe and to illustrate that, you know, and sorry, it's a Buddhist thing, not Hindu, and it's it was developed in the 3rd century, and it's really a way to explain how everything is interconnected, and Indra's Net is almost like, if you can imagine, a beautiful, you know, spider's web with dew on it, or with, you know, gems, and every dewdrop or every gem is connected in this incredible web. And not only is it connected, but to take it to a deeper level, but that everything reflects the whole within it. You know, the microcosm is the macrocosm. And that is the underpinning of the universe. So, you know, this reflects, too, why many of these spiritual truths are valid, because of this interconnection between ourselves and others. And sometimes people say to me, well, you know, especially if they're from a more traditional faith base, you know, we'll say, well, aren't spirit animals, isn't that like, you know, isn't that bad, you know, connecting to animals and so on and trees? And, but I don't believe that the animals and the trees are God. Does that make sense? I believe they're sacred and that they're sacred ground, but that they help us to connect to a whole. Uh-huh. And that, much the same way that Indra's net, if we recognize that we are but one little facet in the web, and if we connect to another little facet, what happens, this miraculous thing begins to happen, and that we begin to see the whole picture. Does that make sense? We begin to sense the vibration, the frequency of the whole web, the whole net, when we go outside of ourselves and recognize that other beings are sacred, other human beings, other animals, and of course plants.
Are sacred. And then when we make decisions, we don't make decisions for our individual selves. We make it for the greater good of the whole.
That's right.
We're going to take a quick break now. Stay tuned. We'll be back with more from my wonderful guest, Catriona McGregor. We'll be right back.
Tune in to The Sandy Brewer Show, getting to the heart of what matters in your life. Thursdays at 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. And experience the powerful healing voice of Dr. Sandy Brewer, one of call-in talk radio's most dynamic, compelling personalities. Get ready for inspiration and contagious humor and her been-there, done-that, no-nonsense advice to meet today's challenges.
Listen and call in at 800-930-2819 for The Sandy Brewer Show.
Did anyone teach you to be a parent? What if there were tools that could make your job a whole lot easier? Glenn Rice invites you to be the questionable parent you truly be in a dynamic teleseries designed to empower parents to know that they know and give you the awareness required to create ease and joy between you and your children. Check out GlennaRice.com to learn more and to book a private session, or dial 415-235-2807.
Tune into Intuit University, compassionate guidance, connecting you to your inner wisdom with internationally renowned psychic and medium, Sherry Dillard, each Thursday at 12 Pacific, 3 Eastern. Get ready for an hour of practical spirituality, fun, and a magic carpet ride into the spirit realm. This hit show is a combination of call-in readings and intuitive mentoring, as Sherry supports, inspires, and empowers you to create your highest good in relationships, career, finances, life purpose, spirituality, and more. For more information, visit SherryDiller.com.
Tune in Fridays at 10 a.m. Pacific Time, 1 p.m. Eastern Time on Transformation Talk Radio.
The Awakening Radio with Patricia. This hit show awakens your dormant, divine, feminine energy. The Awakening Show is the next step on your evolutionary journey through life. Get ready to awaken the dormant seedings within you, your soul's encodement, power, and purpose, and bring this forward with confidence and clarity through the power of your own voice. This show promises to boldly go where you've been before. You just need to remember. Be inspired. Become rewired with The Awakening Radio. Visit awakeningradio.com for weekly topics.
Hi, I'm Michelle Bond, the wellness coach who shines a light on what you put into your body. No two people are alike, and what may work for one person may not work for you. That is why I use biochemical analysis to see what is really going on in your body. This enables me to recommend the proper nutrition and supplemental program to help you feel great and lose weight. This method is painless, uses no needles, and is inexpensive. Why spend all that money on blood and urine tests that don't really tell the whole story when you can have an analysis that will? For more information, contact me at themichellebondshow.com.
called the Oprah of Radio by her listeners. Award-winning host Dr. Pat Basile is blowing the doors off of traditional talk radio. Get ready for an energizing delivery and powerful interviews with leaders in the field of human potential. Dr. Pat's fresh, new perspective on living life full out has catapulted her show to the top of talk radio. Tune in and Dr. Pat will help you thrive instead of merely survive. Visit thedrpatshow.com. That's thedrpatshow.com for listening times in your area.
We're back. I'm Christina Jans, and you're listening to Peace World Radio. And my special guest today is Catriona McGregor, and we've been talking about this beautiful book she's written called Partnering with Nature. In the book, Catriona, you have a section on sacred places, and I know that you do a lot of work on your own, taking people to trips on to sacred places and vision quests. First, let me ask you, what makes a place on Earth sacred? Isn't all of Earth sacred?
There are places on the Earth where there's more powerful combination, collection of energies, power points, one could say. And, you know, this has been documented through the discovery of ley lines and, you know, just the way the Earth is composed with the energy bows and so on. And many of these power spots are recognized not just by one culture or one civilization, but by many, many, many after them. So, you know, Chartres Cathedral in France is built upon an ancient Celtic site where there was a sacred well. And then Chartres Cathedral is considered one of the most sacred sites. And people have many, many mystical experiences there even today. In fact, I had an amazing experience there at that cathedral. And so there are power places upon the land where we can really be brought to having an amazing divine experience or connection more strongly than we might in other locations. With that said, though, there are many places just near where everyone lives, you know, whether it's one's backyard, if one has a beautiful tree, it could be a little, you know, park, community park, or, you know, nature preserve. And it can even just, you know, we can have a sacred experience, you know, standing out on a balcony looking up at the stars at night. So it's really that moment when our heart and soul opens to, you know, that which is outside of us and, you know, to the environment. And so finding those sacred places is really helpful and healthful for ourselves. And they don't exist all over, no, because there are also places upon the earth that are polluted or that even if they haven't been harmed by humankind, they just may have negative energy for a particular individual.
Now, why don't you tell our listeners about the beautiful work that you do with groups, taking people on vision quests and trips to these sacred places, because perhaps somebody listening right now will want to connect with you and go on one of them. So why don't you tell us about them?
Yeah. Well, I really see my role as a guide to help people experience that deep connection to nature. And I run vision quests, which are, you know, held outdoors in wilderness areas, and they're always selected. There's a lot of biodiversity, so people are going to, you know, have beautiful vistas, and there's going to be, you know, wonderful animals there. There are also safe places, you know, that I have been going to for years. And it's just a way to help people connect on their own with the trees, with the sky, with the land, with the earth and the animals. But to do that and know that they're being, you know, guided and helped, you know, along the way. And I also provide dream interpretation for people. And, of course, you know, a lot of the energy work that we discussed a little bit about, helping people engage more with their energy and do that with the trees. And then I also run nature and spirit quests, which are, you know, people sleep inside at night, but then, you know, we spend a good deal of our time outside. And I also give workshops in different locations around the world. In fact, I'm going to be doing a workshop in Arizona at the next Dowsers Convention, National Dowsing Convention in Arizona, Flagstaff. And I also help people even remotely. I do have an Earth, Air, Fire, and Water program that I can help people with by internet, and I can also help people by the phone. So I do work internationally.
That's wonderful. And for people who might be calling you to work sort of long distance with you, what are the kinds of I know this is a bit of a broad question, but it just might speak to somebody listening right now. What might be some of the reasons that they might reach out to work with you remotely?
Well, they may reach out because they may be drawn to understanding what their spirit animal is and going through a process to, you know, a deeper process to discover their life spirit animal. They may be drawn to learn more about different messages or experiences that they're having with nature and, you know, what that all means.
Uh-huh.
They may be interested in understanding what their elements are. You know, each of us is born with different combinations of earth, air, fire, and water. And, of course, when I do the Vision Quest, I help people with that. But I've also now helping people with their understanding their own makeup.
Right.
And, you know, what that means in their life. And that can sometimes give people an aha moment, like, aha, that's why I'm that way.
Right.
And, as well as cures for,
okay.
you know, how they can help strengthen themselves.
Okay, wonderful. Wonderful. We're coming up to, we just have about two, three minutes left on the show, and I always make a point of asking this question. So here we are talking about partnering with nature, forming deeper connections and understanding nature to a deeper level. But somehow to make this work, as you and I were talking about on the break, Catriona, we have to make this livable in real time with people for people with busy schedules and demanding lives. What are some of the things that people, our listeners today, can do to start making a deeper connection with nature?
Well, I think the first thing is what I call the attitude shift or the paradigm shift, and to know and understand that you can have an incredible experience with a tree or a flower, and to understand that perhaps that could be the most significant thing that you do in each day. And that puts a whole new turn on things or how you apply your time. So maybe, you know, you're walking, you know, hurriedly to work, or, you know, you pass by an amazing tree, or you hear a bird song, or you get the whiff of a beautiful fragrant flower. Well, you know, stop, even if it's just for a moment or 5 minutes, and, you know, get really centered and peaceful and soak it in. Soak it in and you know, just be thankful for the beauty that's around us in every moment. So it's partly, you know, a shift in understanding that while society may not be whispering to you to you know, slow down and smell the flowers, that is really something that you can do that can enrich your life so greatly in every moment. And, you know, then there are simple things. You could be eating lunch outside or, you know,
uh-huh.
bicycling instead of, you know, taking the car if the work is not too far. You could have a little garden, you know, a little vegetable garden if you don't have a room for a garden, to do a little window box. You could have a plant by your computer. In fact, spider plants, in the book I talk about plants that are particularly helpful. Spider plants are amazing. You can read about them in the book, and you can put those by your computer. And I also always ask people to do something that's proactive as far as planting trees or helping groups that plant trees or helping groups that protect the earth. Even if you don't have time yourself, if you donate or in some other way get involved politically or in an active way, because we not only need to enrich our own lives, but we need to help the earth.
Wonderful, wonderful ideas, and really pragmatic things that we can do to start making this shift happen and have a deeper connection with the earth. We've come to the end of our show now. I want to thank you so much, Catriona, for being here today and sharing your beautiful earth wisdom with us. Thank you.
Well, thank you, and it was a joy to be here.
Oh, our pleasure. And thank you to all of you, our listeners, for tuning into Peace World Radio. I would like to leave you now with a beautiful Celtic blessing from Catriona's book, McGregor's book, Partnering with Nature. Here it is, and may it bless your journey from this day forward. deep peace of the running wave to you, deep peace of the flowing air to you, deep peace of the quiet earth to you, deep peace of the shining stars to you, and deep peace of the spirit of peace to you. I love that blessing. Remember to join me every second Monday of the month at 11 a.m. Pacific and 2 p.m. Eastern Time for more vibrant conversations to change the world. If you'd like to contact me, just go to peaceworldradio.com. And while you're there, check out our upcoming guests, listen to archive shows, and be sure to follow Peace World Radio on Facebook for lots of fabulous insights and inspiration and great links. I'm Christina Jans. Thank you for listening.
You've been listening to Peace World Radio, vibrant conversations to change the world with Christina Jans. Tune in each second Monday at 11 a.m. Pacific and 2 p.m. Eastern Time on TransformationTalkRadio.com and KKNW for another energetic, vibrant, and engaging show that's getting people talking. Internationally renowned host Christina Jans brings you extraordinary and courageous people who are using their lives to raise the frequency of our world. For more information about Christina and the show, visit peaceworldradio.com and join the talk the world is having.
You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio. Our hosts are setting a new standard for a fresh kind of talk radio, creating conversations that are transforming the world, one listener at a time. Transformation Talk Radio's mission is to broadcast a distinct blend of live talk radio interviews with a mix of uplifting and intelligent news, educational and practical information. Topics range from personal development to critical issues relevant to a rapidly changing world. Stay tuned. Transformation Talk Radio starts at the top of every hour.
Stop. Get out of that car. Stop living your life in the passenger seat. Tune in to TransformationTalkRadio.com and let us help you drive.
People say that too much of anything is not good for you, baby. But I don't know about that.
Love is officially in the air. Transformation Talk Radio and the Dr. Pat Show is showing you love all year long, not just for Valentine's Day. Dr. Pat, known for her Pay It Forward manifesto, is now joined by the hosts on Transformation Talk Radio. I'm in love, baby, with Transformation Talk Radio. Tune in to TransformationTalkRadio.com. Amazing host, incredible guest. Get your groove on. Feel the love, be the love.
Can't get enough for your love, babe.
There's a great hunger in this world for new lines of thought, because everywhere you look, they say that joy can just be bought. So please come and set aside some time to relax from frenetic. Transform your life. It takes a while, but results are magnetic. We aim to grasp the best in life and track the ways we grew. The how, the why, the what, wherefore, all this we share and do. But every now and then, we hope that you will share right back. Transformation Talk Radio wants you to hop on track. So calling all hosts, tall and small, of every size and hue, there's nobody we'd rather have to tell your tale than you. And if you have a tale to tell of how your life is changing, we'd love to hear you on the line, say how you're rearranging. So run, don't walk, to call us now. We'll set you up and show you how.
Hi, this is Dr. Pat. Join our radio family. Send us an email, host@transformationtalkradio.com, or call 1-800-930-2819. Host your own show. Let us help you bring your voice to the world.